You know, one of the things that I love about Christmas is the joy and happiness, especially expressed on the faces of little children. As a little boy, my sister and I had one burning question on Christmas Eve. How early can we wake up Dad? The earlier the better. And of course, we would negotiate for as early as possible without making him irritated enough to change the time to be later. But once we had our final time, it was my sister and I's job to figure out how to make Christmas Eve night go as quickly as possible. So we would build forts. We'd play little handheld electronic games. You know you're getting older when the handheld electronic games that you played when you were a kid are in the retro section in Walmart, you know? We'd bring various toys into our rooms. We had a full night's worth of entertainment. We'd try to make ourselves tired and go to sleep, just as long as only one of us was asleep at the same time, just in case the appointed hour would arrive and we could wake each other up. In other words, joy and excitement over a group of presents that we could open the next morning. We would just imagine our favorite gift on the list showing up under a tree. You know, maybe it was the Atari 2600. You remember that? Maybe it was a new bike or maybe a new stereo system. And we were just so pumped about that. Even as we grew older, we maybe stopped focusing so much on the time, but still enjoyed getting the gifts that we probably knew what were coming. You know, even after I became a dad, I've enjoyed watching my own children carry on some of those same traditions. To see a little 5-year-old peek his head out the door, hoping to catch a glimpse of what might be going down the stairs, was just plain cute, wasn't it? I mean, publicly, a word of correction would come. Hey, it's time for bed. But privately, there would be joy in the heart just watching one of the kids do that. You know, they were excited about what was under the tree, just as I was excited when I was their age. You know, but friends, think about what that joy and excitement was about. A series of gifts. Most of the gifts that I received as a little boy are long gone, thrown away years ago. My Atari 2600 that I thought so proudly and enjoyed so much is with the dump along with another of other pieces of trash. Did they have value? Sure. Some lasted 10 minutes. Some lasted a little bit longer. And occasionally, there was one that lasted a while. But what is the gift that the choir has been singing about? Well, what is that? And isn't that the gift of Jesus? Hallelujah, he is here. And I'd like to suggest 3 reasons that we can praise the Lord. And that's, after all, what hallelujah means. Because Jesus is here. The first one is this. Because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, listen to the words. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ is as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he, let's read this together, will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Matthew shows that the birth of Jesus is unique. He was conceived very differently than all other human babies. There was no physical union between Mary and Joseph. And he is called the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In fact, his name means Yahweh saves. And Yahweh was the Old Testament covenant keeping name for God that emphasized the reality that God always keeps his promises. And so the message of Christmas was a message of salvation from the very beginning. Every time you pray in Jesus' name, you remind yourself, Yahweh saves. Every time you sing a song or listen to a song with Jesus' name in it, you remind yourself that Jesus saves. Every time you pick up and read your New Testament and you see the name Jesus, you remind yourself that Yahweh or God saves. Praise the Lord, huh? And you know, that is unlike any other gift. You see, all the other gifts you can give to yourself. I remember Pastor Byers one day mentioning a double joy gift. It's the gift you buy for yourself. So you have the joy of giving it and you have the joy of receiving it. And you know, for many Christmas gifts, you can do just that, huh? You don't need someone to buy that for you because you can get it for yourself. But you can't do that with the gift of Christ. You cannot do that with the gift of salvation. See, you cannot earn your salvation. There's no amount of good that cancels out all of the bad that separates us from God. There are no heavenly scales where good, as someone defines it, and bad are placed in order to see which one wins. You can't buy your salvation. No amount of riches make that possible. There's not enough money in the world to buy your own salvation. And you don't deserve it. Salvation is not an inherent right simply because you're a human being. Instead, as Acts 4:12 puts it, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men whereby we must be saved. And no other name includes ourselves. So when we think about the reality that Jesus is here, it should immediately remind us that salvation is here because Jesus brought it. But that raises a really important question. And it's the question of, well, how does one receive this amazing gift? Is it that Jesus came so that everyone receives salvation? That's where a passage like Romans chapter 10 becomes so important. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You see, there's a decision point. A person can be in a church from day one, but that does not make them a Christian. They have to make a decision. They have to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Not just simply add Jesus to whatever else they have going. It is now Jesus is the master. He is the king. He is their Lord. And they have to believe in their hearts. And it's something more than just simply intellectual assent. See, there's a lot of people who believe that Jesus existed, that he was a good man, that he died on the cross. But they would believe that kind of level about Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. What Jesus calls us to is to trust him. One of the famous preachers long ago once wrote that all of us are walking over the pit of hell on rotten boards. And it is only Christ that can rescue us from falling in. So friends, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to trust him today. I want to encourage you to repent of your sin and acknowledge your need and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, as followers of Christ, we should never get over this reality or take it for granted. But we can also praise the Lord because Jesus came to be with his people. Did you notice when I read verse 23? Not only did he bring salvation, because that is his name Jesus means Yahweh saves. But now also he has another name. In verse 23 of chapter 1 of Matthew, it said, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. In other words, Jesus had more than one name. He had the name Jesus, but he also had the name Emmanuel. And that additional name explains something else. And that is that he came to be with his people. And the end of Matthew actually records the reality that Jesus had that intention from day one, and he continues it today. In Matthew 28, it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" That is after Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, this other name that Jesus was given, the name Emmanuel, was also meant to communicate something about Christ. And that is, he came to be with you and me. After Jesus died on the cross, the final message that he gave to his disciples is this: God was going to be with them. They were supposed to go and make disciples, but while they were doing that, Christ was going to be there with them. You know, what an amazing picture. Because in the Old Testament, God's presence was localized on the Ark of the Covenant, which was kept in the Holy of Holies inside the temple. It was the place of God's presence. But you know, you couldn't just walk in. You couldn't just go see it yourself. Instead, there were rules about where people could go, and depending on your position, where you were allowed to enter. And that Holy of Holies was only available to one person once a year. And now, what is it? Christ is with us even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. I don't have very many of the gifts that were given to me as a child. But I do get this one. And I do have this one, even to the end of the age. The gift of God's salvation is with us forever. The gift of his presence never wears out, gets old, or is exchanged for a better model. We have the very best right from the beginning. And the presence of Christ makes a difference in our everyday life. It changes the way we think about blessing from the hand of a very gracious God. It changes the way we think about hardship, that I can lean into the Lord and I can find comfort and I can find grace in my time of need. It changes the way we think about uncertainty. It gives us courage to live out all that God has called us to do. It even changes the way we respond when people criticize us. We don't have to defend ourselves or demonstrate that it's really the other person who is wrong. We know that God ultimately is our defender. And that is a gift. And that gift is a reason to rejoice. Well, the third reason to praise the Lord that Jesus is here is because Jesus came to give his people a new purpose. Again, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we saw this in the text. Let me just read it again, this time emphasizing the purpose. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" You see, the Christian life can be described in a lot of phrases, and they're not exclusive of one another. Rather, they overlap and give a series of emphases to that overall purpose. We're to glorify God. The choir was singing about that this morning, which is essentially explaining the goodness of God to those around us. We are to please God. Not much different, although it emphasizes the fact that God is pleased when his people follow him. To declare his praises because he brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And here the text emphasizes yet another expression of that purpose. And that is to go and to make disciples. So when it comes right down to it, our mission is pretty simple. Make as many disciples as possible. Start in your home, work your way out. And I want to thank you for those of you who have been serving in Living Nativity. I know it's been cold the last couple of nights. And so I just want to thank you for your willingness to serve and to do your part in making disciples. As some 2,300 or so people have been exposed to the message of Christ over the last two nights. I also want to thank you for helping with Christmas for Everyone. Yesterday being Distribution Day, and hundreds of children were given gifts by all of you. And many of you were there to serve the family so graciously, to wrap their presents or to greet them as they came in the door and to walk them through the bonus area. I want to thank you for your willingness to do that. And here's what we're asking. We're asking that God would choose to use Living Nativity and Christmas for Everyone to produce disciples. You know, as we're getting close to the end of the year, one of the questions that you could ask is, how much disciple making have you done? How much effort has been put into disciple making? Praise the Lord for the clear direction, huh? The clear direction to have a mission, go and make disciples. The message of Christmas is that Jesus is, as the choir was singing, here. He came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from the power and penalty of sin. And I'm asking you in the quietness of this moment not to let it get away. Don't let it simply be another moment. Use it. The gospel is clear. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I want to encourage you to believe what the Bible says about you, that first of all, that you're a sinner and that the wages of sin is death. And then I want to encourage you to be reminded of what the choir has been singing about and what the Word has been saying over the last few minutes. And that is that Jesus came to save sinners. He came to seek the lost, to provide healing to the sick. He came to be our salvation. And what he's asking is that you will repent and believe. And if you do, then you will have a reason to praise the Lord, not only because of your salvation, but because you will never be alone and you will always have a meaningful purpose. Believing friend, maybe you've known Christ and have been walking with the Lord for quite some time. There are so many reasons to praise the Lord. And I hope that the busyness of the Christmas season will not crowd out the wonderful reality of his salvation, his presence, and his purpose. Now, there might be another group here, and that is a Christian who is really struggling in their walk with the Lord. Can I encourage you that now is the time to recommit and make changes? Now is the time to repent of the hardness that has been in your heart, which has blinded you to some of the ways in which God has wanted you to change. Don't just simply allow another message to go by, another opportunity for repentance to slip away. God promises, he promises you, that if you will confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, the message of Christmas is exciting, huh? Salvation, presence, purpose, hallelujah, he is here. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your amazing, amazing gift. And Lord, as we reflect on some of the gifts that we may have received over the years, we want to thank you that the most precious one is Christ. His name, Jesus, means that you bring salvation. His name, Emmanuel, means that you are with us. And he has given us a very gracious and wonderful purpose. And I pray that you would help us to live it out. Lord, for those who don't yet know Christ, I pray that you would help them to see their need. I pray that you would help them to see that their sin is separating them from God, and that this Christmas season can be totally different than all the others. So we ask that you would help them to repent and believe. For those who are struggling in their faith, I ask, Lord, that a message like this would encourage them and enliven their heart. Help them to repent of their own sin and help them to commit to living out the purpose that you have given to go and make disciples. And so we ask, Lord, for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.